We begin the current Masech Dezuma Daf Samach Vav. We begin on the top line of the Gemara, where the Gemara continues discussing the previous Daf. And that is, there was a Mishnah Masech Dezuma that had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding what happens if the individuals lost their shkalm on the way up to Yerushalayim. Then they had to go ahead and therefore replenish that and give new machzah shekels. Then the old ones were found. The Chacham hold that both of them are for this year and they cannot be carried over for the next year. And next year you have to go ahead and take new machzah shekels, although you give double this year. Behuda said, no, you could actually have a layover for that, have credit for the next year. And that Rav explained what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds that obligations from this year can work for the following year. To which the Gemara asked, that we find Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding when if someone was bringing a par and a sar of Yom Kippurim, and then they got lost, then they made a new carbon for that. They brought a new par and a sar. Then the old ones were found. So you have two par and sars of Yom Kippurim. So that Rabbi Yehuda says that one of them is brought this year, and the other one is killed. So the question is, why do you say it's killed? Why can't you save it for the coming year? You could have the obligations of one year for the next year. So what's the problem? Why do you say you kill it, according to Yehuda, who says that it could be kept over for the following year? So the Gemara went through a few different approaches. And finally, the last approach that our Gemara had said was the fourth approach, that said it was a gzeira atu la'achar shnasa. And that is this sor hachatos, this that the, so what's called sor la'ashem, that the Jewish people bring, that the Kohen brings for them, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, is a carbon chatas that has to be within its year. Now, although we explained that according to Rebbe, it's feasible to have the chatas from 1 year Yom Kippurim for the next year Yom Kippurim within the year, because he goes based on a solar calendar, which is 365 days, and therefore you could have the carbon sar l'ashem on day 8, which is Erev Yom Kippurim, then have it for the next year within 364 days and not be 365, so it's within the halachic year. However, it's a gezeira atu, it's going to be la'achar shnasa, because that's a very hard case to get. Usually, if from one Yom Kippurim to the next one, it's going to be past the year of the chatas. That's invalidation for the karma chatas. And therefore, we say that even if you could have it within the year, it's a gezeira, and therefore, although you're right, halachically, Rabbi is correct in Rabbi Yehuda, that the obligations of 1 year could be kept over for the following year. But we're concerned that might be post the year, which would invalidate it, and therefore, we say that the sar l'ashem has to be killed, and you can't leave it the next year. That's where our current Gemara continues. So that the Gemara asks, like it had its same line of questioning for the other three answers in the Gemara. So Hatei Nachsar, that's very well understood, that for the Sar Lashem, that we're concerned that it might be after the year, because it's a Chatas, a Sar Lashem, the Sar Lachatas has to be within its year. And therefore we're concerned it might be after the year. But Par Ma'ikla Meimah, what are you going to say about a bull that could be up to 3 years old, and therefore there we don't have the concern that it has to be within the year. So why do we say by the Sar we understand that that carbon has to be killed? But why one of the cases included over there was a par, and still Rabbi Yehuda says that if there's two pars of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippurim, one is brought, the other one is killed, why is it killed? That doesn't have the same concern of that it's going to be after the year. So that the Gemara answered like it did for the other answers, Gezerah par atu sar. You're right, it only applies this Gezerah by the sar, but since par and sar are very similar, that they're the two that are brought by the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippurim, Lofnai, Lofnim, and the Parechis, and Mizbech, Hazav, they're all brought in together, we might come to confuse them, and therefore, if we're going to let you use the par for next year, we might let the sar, and then very likely it's going to be after the year, and therefore we don't let by the par either. That the Gemara asks, again, as it asked by the other answers, Umshum Gezer Yomos, because of a decree, so we kill the par, let it at least be Roya, let it go out to graze, and then use its money for something, why would we kill it? The Oida, moreover, the Gemara asks, Chata she'aver shnasa l're'iyah azla. A chatas that passes its year is not one of the five that are killed from a chatas shekipur bahalel or meso bahalel. This, that if it passes its year, it goes out to graze, and therefore the whole teretz doesn't start. That you would say that it would be gzeira, even for the sar it's difficult. Because even the sar that you're saying that, yes, it might be after the year next year, but why does Rabbi Yehuda say that yamos, that it should die, the most it should be, it should go out to graze? The Amr Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish said, chatas she'aver shnasa, regarding a chatas that its year passed, so it's not valid anymore, as we learned from a brisa that in Teretz Karnim, it has to be within the year, as we find by Avodah Zarah. However, Rayanai, so we view it wherever it shouldn't be, ki'ilu hi'ay medis b'besek faras, as if it's in a cemetery, which that translates into the fact that a kohen can't get near it, because a kohen who's going to sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash can't go into a cemetery. But again, it's not from one of the chatas that are killed, rather just cannot be sacrificed, and therefore varaya, so it goes out to graze until it develops a blemish, and then it's sold. So how would we understand this as an explanation of why Rabbi Yehuda holds that it should be killed because of this gezeira? even for next year, even if you cannot use it, it shouldn't be killed. It should just go out to graze. So therefore, the Gemara falls off of that answer. And Ela Marava, rather, the Gemara concludes, and this is the fifth approach, which the Gemara remains with, Gizeir Meshum Takala. The reason why we cannot bring the Sar Lashem and the Par of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim for the next year, although, again, technically, Mitzad Halacha, Rabbi explained to Rabbi Yehuda that he holds you could use the obligation of this year for the next year. However, because of the concern of a mechshal, of a stumbling block, which the Gemara will shortly explain what is a stumbling block, we don't let you keep it throughout the year to then bring it the next Yom Kippurim. So again, although technically Mitzad Halacha you're allowed to, but we're concerned of something happening, and therefore we don't let you keep it. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, which is that we find this concern of Takala. The Braisa says that Ein Makdishin, a person is not allowed to make something hektish, sanctified, for the Bedek Habayis, which when a person just says this thing is hektish, generally that means for the Bedek Habayis, for the upkeep of the temple, because if one does it, there's nothing he can do with the money, and that's talking about in today's times. Ve Marich, and a similar person, you cannot do what's called an Erech vow, which is you give a certain value of a person depending on his age. Ve Machrim, and you also cannot make something what's called Cherim, because Stam Charam in this town holds is Lebedek Habayis, which actually is a Machlik, is a Masechtes Erechin. Again, these things that you're donating, you're designating for the Bedek Habayis, you can't do that. Bezman Hazeh, in today's times when there's no Mabes HaMikdash, because what are you going to do with the money? It's what's called a Mechshel, it's Takala. And therefore, v'im hektish, if you did make something hektish, the herich, and if you made something with an erich in vow, the hechrim, or you made something cherim, so then you have to get rid of it, because it's a michshal, it's a takala, because it's a stumbling block, because this thing has kedusha now, but there's nothing to do with it, it's stuck over here, and person might end up using it. So what you do is, if it's a behema, tiyakir, if it's a behema, you uproot it, which shortly we'll explain what that is. Peirois, ksus, bekalim, if it's produce, if it's clothing, if it's vessels, then yirkavu, then you let it rot, you let it decompose. Mois or klei matzchis, however, if it's money or metal vessels which do not decompose, then yelech hanoli yam hamelech, then you throw its value, and you throw it into the yam hamelech, into the Dead Sea. Again, because you want to get these things out of the way so people don't have enough from them, because it's a takala, you're not allowed to use it, it has halach of hektish. Now, ve'ezahu ikur, what does it mean to uproot the animal? Noil delislav, and now you close the door in front of it, and it just dies by itself. So therefore you see this concern about takala, that if one is going to make something sanctified, which you cannot bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's just staying here, so you have to get rid of it. So you see from this price of this idea of takala. However, the Gemara asks, takala demai. The case over here that Rav is explaining, that you cannot keep the par and the sar for the next year because of takala, what is the takala? What is this something about? What can go wrong that we're concerned about? So the Gemara says, Itakal dehakrav, if it's because of this concern that, look, you have this par and this sar, they have this he-goat and this bull, waiting to next year because we had two, because we had it, we lost it, we separated a new one, we found the old one, now we have two, so one we bring this year, one we save for the next year. You can't do that. Because there's a stumbling block, because you may come to sacrifice it through the year that you have this carbon. But that the Gemara asks, how can you say that's the concern? Afilu kol ra'iyus nami, then regarding every halacha, there's many times that the Chachamim tell us what's called yirat sheyistavu. If you have a carbon that cannot be sacrificed, so we say let it graze in the fields until it develops a blemish, and then you sell it and you do whatever you need with it. But how do you ever do that? Maybe you'll be concerned that you're going to come to sacrifice that as a carbon. How can you hold on to that? Just like here, you're concerned about holding on to it because you might come to sacrifice it. And itakala de gizav avoida, if it's a concern, not that you're going to sacrifice it, like we see by the other animals, but because you might come to shear the wool, or you might come to work with it, which it's a carbon, it's hektish, you can't work with it. But then again, afilakal riyas nami, then regarding every animal, when you say that you let it just graze till it develops a blemish, what do you mean? In the interim, you might come to work, or you might come to shear the wool, and you see we're not concerned about that. So there is no such takala in that area. So why do we say this is a takala of holding on to this paran sar till the next Yom Kippurim? So that the Gemara answers, lo'olam takala da'krava. Really, we're talking about that the takala is, we're concerned that you have this carbon, it's a par and a sar, you might use it during the year, you might bring it as a different carbon, which is not valid for, it's only supposed to be the par and the sar of Yom Kippurim, and you're waiting till next year, but in the interim, you might use it. However, but we had the question, so why don't you say that by every animal, when you put it out l'ra'iyah, for it to go out to graze, that maybe we should be concerned you're going to bring it as a carbon. That the Gemara says, no, but the other ones, they're not eligible. They're not even being focused on to bring them as a carbon, those other ones that go out to graze, because to the contrary, we only want their value. There's a reason why they're putting out to graze. They're going to develop a blemish because we're not using them as a carbon. We're just going to take their monetary value and then purchase other carbonas with them. Therefore, leitard b'hu. Therefore, a person is not thinking about it, about sacrificing it, and therefore he totally removes his das from it, from sacrificing it. So there's no concern that he's going to come to sacrifice it because we know that this is out of the question. This animal is not good anymore. We have to wait till it develops a blemish and then we could use its money. So there's no concern over there. Hach the basakravahi, however, this one, the paran desar, which it is an animal to be sacrificed, actually we're holding on to it for it to be sacrificed for the coming Yom Kippurim, setarid ba. So he's always constantly thinking about it. Oh, I remember, this one has to be sacrificed, and therefore he might sacrifice it before Yom Kippur. That's a takala, because you're going to use it for something else, and therefore we say you can't hold on to it to the coming year because of that takala bakrava, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that it gets killed. So this resolves the question on Rabbah, although Rabbah is correct in Rabbi Huda's halacha and his shita, that one can use the obligations of one year to the next. In that area of halacha, you're right, the paran desar, if you had two, really one you'd be able to leave over the next year. However, because of the concern of takala, you might come to sacrifice it sometime during the year because you're focused on it, that it's still being utilized as a carbon. That's why it's killed and you don't hold on to the next year. However, the Gemara does say, for takala atzma tanohi. However, although the way Rabbah just answered, obviously Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about takala, actually is a machlokes tanoim. There are those that are concerned, and there are those that are not concerned about this takala, about holding on to a carbon for a long period of time, that you might not bring it for what you're holding it onto it for, you might bring it for something else. The Tanya, like we learned in the Chodah, like we learned in one brisa. The first brisa says, Pesach shalikarv berishon. Regarding Karm Pesach, that was not brought on Pesach Rishon, which is on the 14th of Nisan. You karv besheni, so you bring it on what's called Pesach Sheni, which means you sell it to somebody that was either Tamei or he was in a faraway place where he has to bring on the 14th of Iyar. So you sell it for him, so if it wasn't brought on the first one, you bring it on the second one. Besheni, if it wasn't brought on Pesach Sheni either, so then you karv l'shan haba, let it be brought as a Pesach, as a Karm Pesach, the coming year. B'tan yidach, we've learned another brisa lo yikarv. It should not be brought as a Pesach on the coming year. So the Gemara says, my love, but to call a plague, isn't this what they're arguing about regarding this michshal? One brisa hold, you could hold on to it for the coming year. We're not concerned about that you might use it for something else. And the other brisa says, no, you can't hold on to it from one year to the next. Similar like we were saying regarding the sar and the par for Rabbi Huda, you can't hold on to it from one year to the next. Because you might bring it, there's a takala, you might bring it as a carbon for something else. Another thing Gemara says, loy. No, not necessarily that this is what they're arguing about. The kuliyami loichashin the takala. We could really say that everyone is not concerned with the takala, and therefore, hypothetically, you'd be able to leave it for the coming year. But v'hacha beplukti the Rebbe v'Rabbanan kamevukei. What they're arguing about is the machlekas of Rebbe and the Rabbanan that we mentioned on the bottom of the previous daf, and therefore, loichash, it's not difficult because ha Rebbe, the one that says that you could leave the Pesach from one year to the next Pesach, is because it's possible that it didn't pass the year, that it has to be within its year. Now, although we said that it has to be separated after 8 days from its birth, because or else it's going to be considered mechusas man, lacking time and sanctity, it has to be only after 8 days old that it's viable. However, we said according to Rabbi, he goes according to the solar year. Therefore, you could have 365 days will encompass Erev Pesach on day 8. When you come to the next year, Erev Pesach, it's going to be still within, it's going to be 364 days if it was a Shana Pshuta, not an Ibriyar, and not 365, so it will be within the year. Harabanan, the Brice that said that you cannot bring it the following year, not because we're not concerned about Takala, but it's not going to be within the year that the Karban Pesach has to be. And that's why, because they go according to the lunar year, and therefore it's automatically going to be, if you could only be makriv it, and when it's 8 days old, so therefore when it comes next year of Pesach, it's going to be already more than a year from when it was designated. And therefore, it's not going to be able to because it's going to be over a year old, because it's going to be a year at least on 8 days old. So maybe that's what they're arguing about. That the Gemara asks, but you cannot say that this is what they're arguing about. Because Vatanya will learn the Brice of Achin Hamois. They argue about not only when you have an animal that wasn't brought, which is, you had the animal separate for Karban Pesach and it wasn't brought, that you bring it the next year, but they said even regarding monies, that were designated to be used for Korban Pesach. On that, there was a brisa that said that you should not bring it the coming year. And there was one brisa that says that you should bring it the coming year. Now, regarding that area of halacha, there is no shnasa. You know, the Korban Pesach itself cannot be older than a year. But the monies, there's no age for how old the monies can be. And yet still there's a brisa that's saying that you cannot leave over these monies that were designated just for the Korban Pesach for the coming year. No, but Takala Pligi, so we must say that what are they arguing about must be regarding the area of Takala, because even monies, we're concerned that since it's earmarked just for Pesach, if you're holding on to it the whole year, you might use it for something else. That is a concern of Takala. Therefore, Shmami no, we can infer from this that actually this teres that Rava gave for Rabbi Yehuda, that the reason why the Paranasar you can't use for the coming year because of the concern of Takala is a Machlekes Tanoim, and that's the same Machlekes to have regarding Korban Pesach, if you could have it for the coming year, if it's because of Takala or not, not because of if you get it within the year, because they say the Machlekes even regarding monies, and regarding monies, there is no application of being within the year. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Now this Mishnah goes back to the cycle, to the whole structure of this Masechta, which was told by the order of the Abayda of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Now, which it's going back to is the end of the last parak. And it's saying that after the Kohen Gadol finished doing the matnas, the placing of the bloods of the par, which is the bull from the Kohen Gadol, and the sar, which is the sar Lashem of the Jewish people, so now he comes to the sar HaMishtaleach, he comes to the other sar, because he took one of the seirim, which is sar Lashem, he already slaughtered, placed his bloods inside. Now he has the other one, which is called sar Lazazel. And he comes to the place where he had left it, which was Keneged Beis Shiluche, facing the place where it's going to be sent, as we had quoted already in the Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So now the Mishnah continues. Bolei Eitzel Sar HaMishtaleach. So again, he comes now to the sar that's going to be sent away. And he leans his two hands on the animal, and he does the vidah, he says confession. And this is what he would say. He said, "On Hashem, please Hashem, chatu avu pashu lefanecha amcha beis Yisrael." There's three different types of sins that the Jewish people have sinned in front of you. One is chatoim, inadvertent sins. Avu is that they have done deliberate sins. And pashu is more than that, that they have rebelled against you. So they have done these three types of sins. On Hashem, please Hashem, kaper no lachatoim v'lavoynis l'absham. Please atone for these three different types of sins. Shechatu v'sha'avu v'sha'poshu l'fanecha amcha beis Yisrael, that the Jewish people have sinned in front of you. Karkosu v'sarius Moshe avdecha loyma, like it says in the Torah of your servant Moshe, to say, which is a pasuk in Yikra, that you will provide atonement on this day, which it says, kiva yom hazeh yichaper aleichem, because on this day, the day of Yom Kippurim, he will atone for you. L'tar escha mikol chatesechem, to purify you from all your sins. Lefnei Hashem titar, in front of Hashem, you will be purified. So that was the nusach of the vidur that the Kohen Gadol would say on the Sar La'azazel, which was the vidur that was done for the sins of the Jewish people. And the Mishnah tells us, v'kehanim v'ha'am ho'im ne'ba'azara, and the kehanim and the people that were standing in the courtyard, when they were here, the ineffable, the four-letter name of Hashem, which would be coming out from the mouth of the Kohen Gadol, because he wouldn't say Hashem or the Shem Adoy, then no, he would say actually the Yud Ke Vav Ke name. So when they heard it come out, they would kneel and bow down. They would fall on their faces and they would say, Baruch Shem Kavoy Machusay Leilam Ved. Blessed is the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. That was what they would say when they would hear the names of Hashem coming out when the Kohen Gadol would say the vidui on the Sar La'azazel. So after he said the vidui, Misari Lamishai Malichai, so he would give it over to the person that would be sent to do this mission of sending the Korban La'azazel, the Sar La'azazel, off the cliff. So the Mishnah clarifies and says, Hakol Kshen Lohilichai. Really, everyone is fit to go ahead and take this mission of bringing the La'azazel out to that cliff. However, it was made, established that the Kahanim Gedolim made, that it should only be Kahanim that are the ones that are taking the Sar La'azazel. They did not allow a non-Kohen to go ahead and take this mission of bringing the Sar La'azazel. However, Amar Busi does say that Maisa Bahilicha Arsla, there was a time when Arsla, who is the name of a person, that he went and he took it. Yisrael Hayan, he actually was Yisrael, he was a non-Kohen, and still he went on the mission of bringing the La'azazel. Now, the Mishnah tells us of a kevesh, there was a ramp, which was like a type of an elevation, like a type of a bridge, that asulay, that they made for the one that was going to take out the azazel, which was very high. And he went through this ramp out of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash and out of the city. And the reason why they made this ramp was of Neha Bavliyim, because of the Babylonians, so that the Babylonians should not be able to touch the one that was going to take the Azazel, because they used to pull at his hair before they made this, and they would tell him, Tulvitzei, take it and go, take it and go. In other words, don't leave our sins by us. The Azazel was the one that was the atonement for the Jewish people's sins, and he had to go ahead and bring it to the cliff, and they said, get out of here, go quickly. And therefore, since they would pull at his hair, so they made this ramp so that no one could get to him, that he had this elevation, and no one was touching the one that was doing the mission of taking the Sar L'Azazel. Now, the Gemara makes a diuk, an inference from the vidui that the Kohen Gadol would see on the Sar HaMashtaleach, on the Sar L'Azazel. Because, v'ilu, v'nei aharon am k'deshech loy kamar. In the Nusach, he says that this should be an atonement for Amcha Beis Yisrael, for your people, the Jewish people. But it does not also say that it should be an atonement for the sons of Aaron, your holy people, that is, for the Kahanim. And therefore the Gemara is Mantan. Who is the town of Amishna that says that the Vido of the Sar Mishtaleach, which was for all the sins of the Jewish people, the Sar Lashem was for those which are regarding Tumas Mikdash or Kedashim, the Sar Mishtaleach, it was for all the other sins. Who is the town that says that the Kahanim did not have the atonement of the Sar L'Azazel? Or maybe here, like Rabbi Yehuda, obviously it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Deek Rabbi Yehuda, because if it's like Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amar, we already quoted on the previous daf, that he says, Yeshlam Kapar B'Sar Mishtaleach. He says that the Kahanim do have an atonement with the Sar Mishtaleach, because although we said that the Kahanim are included in the Vida of the Kohen Gadol on his par, that's regarding Mikdash Kedashah B'Kedashah. That's regarding the halachas of Tumah regarding sanctified things in the Beis HaMikdash. However, what's with all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, all the Targum mitzvahs that they have sinned? Where do they get atonement for that? And that Rabbi Yehuda says that they get with the rest of the Jewish people with the Sar Mishtaleach. Obviously, our Mishnah is not like that, because here we see clearly it's like the other Mando Amma who says that they get an atonement with the two components of the par. The par has two components. One is its blood, which is what the Sar Lashem has, only blood. And one is its vidui, which the Sar Lazazel only has the vidui. Both of those, which are two different animals for the Jewish people, are one animal for the Kahanim, and therefore they have all their atonements from the par and not from the Sar Lazazel, and that's why they're not mentioned in the vidui. However, Abaye Amar, he says, Afilatem Rabbi Yehuda. You could say that the Tana of Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that is the atonement of the Sar L'Azazel is also for the Kahanim. And Atu Kahanim Lav Bechlal Amchi Yisrael Nenu. And he says, although it doesn't say that it should be for Bnei Aaron Am Kedeshecha, but you think Kahanim are not included in Amchi Yisrael, your nation, the Jewish people? And they are. And therefore, you don't have to say also additionally the Kahanim. So therefore, it could be even like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Kahanim are getting the Kapara of the Sar L'Azazel with that Vidui, because they're included in Amchi Yisrael. Now the Mishnah told us that Masri Lemisha Malicha, so after the Kohen Gadol would do the Vidui, he would give it over to the one that was going to take it out to the Azazel, out to the cliff. So Tar B'Yom learned a Braisa that clarifies this halacha and qualifies some of the different components. So there's a Pasuk in the Yikra, Tezayin Chafalef, that talks about this whole thing that Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, would do the Vidui, and he would do his Smicha, and it would be the atonement for all the sins of Jewish people. And the Pasuk there concludes, V'shilach B'yad Ish Iti Hamidbar. He would send the Sar L'Azazel in the hand of a man that was Iti, which means designated, Hamidbar, to the desert. So the Braisa learns different drashas from the words of the Pasuk. It says, Ish, he would send it with a man. Lahakshar HaSazar, that's to qualify even a non-kohen, although our Mishnah said that they would only do it to Kahana, but mitzad de ikra halacha, it was allowed to be even with a non-kohen. That's why it says Ish, not a kohen. Then it says Iti, which means that he was designated. So we continue on to Amud Beis. It means Shriyeh Mezuman. It means he should be prepared from before Yom Kippurim. Iti means he was already prepared. He was already designated. Another understanding of the term Iti, which is another drasha, Iti, that's in this time, that he's prepared for this time, means Afilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. And Iti means Afilu B'Tumah, even in the state of Tumah. And that's because the term iti is also related to the word bi'itai in its proper time, which, as we say other drashas elsewhere, when it says b'mayadai in its designated time, that's you should send him and not bypass this mission, which tells you even on Shabbos and even with Tumah. Now the Gemara shortly will explain what type of Shabbos violation or problem of Tumah is there with sending the Azazel that you have to go ahead and include it and say that we're not concerned, even though there's a Chil Shabbos and even though there's Tumah. Where does that come up that there should be any Chil Shabbos or problem of Tumah for sending the mission of the Azazel? But either way, that's what the Rice is saying, that Iti tells you A, that he should be prepared from before Yom Kippurim, and B, that even if it falls out on Shabbos or that there's a problem of Tumah, doesn't make a difference. Now the Gemara asks, Ish, the first drush of the Braisa said was a man, which was lahachshas azar, to qualify this, that it's allowed to be done even with a non-kain. So the Gemara is pshita. What do you mean? Why do you need a pasuk to include? It's not an avoida. It's not something being done in the Beis HaMikdash. It's just taking an animal and throwing off a cliff. Why would I think you need a kain? Now the Gemara answers, Ma'adu Tema Kaparik Siva Bay. I would have thought to say, because it does say regarding the Sarla Azazel that there is an atonement. So therefore, I would have thought to say that it needs to be done with a Kohen who they do the Avodah of Kapara. Kamash Bulan, that's why you need a Rebbe to tell you that Zar, that is Ish, even with a Zar, even a non Kohen could do this. Now, the other drasha was, Iti, that it has to be, that it's even in its designated time, it will always be brought, that Vafilah B'Shabbos, even if it's on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchasa. For what halachic purpose is this drasha telling us? In other words, what type of chilas Shabbos is there that could happen by having to take the animal to the cliff that you're going to have to permit it with the extra word of iti? Now, Rashi says, if you're going to say, which seems to be the most logical one, of tchumen, because you're going out of the boundary of 2,000 amos because they're taking this animal very far, but then Rashi says that's only issur d'rabbanan, because that was only a decree which was after Matan Torah, it's not a biblical commandment. And therefore, there, here we were talking about in the times of the Bible, in the Torah itself, what purpose did we have to be marba from the term of iti that in whatever the time is, even if it's Shabbos, but what type of chilas Shabbos is there? So I'm Rav Sheshe says, loymer shem hoya chayla. It's to tell you that if the sar lazazel was ill, markiva al kasefer, it can't walk, so you could carry it on your shoulder. That's a problem of carrying something in Rosh Hashanah of doing haitza. And that's what we have to tell you, that you could do that chilas Shabbos to take the sar lazazel out there. That's what iti is telling you. So that the Gemara asks Kanan, which opinion is this that would need to have a ribui for carrying an animal on its shoulder? Now the Gemara says, delay Reb Nosson. That would not be like Reb Nosson. Di Reb Nosson, because if it's going like Reb Nosson, ha'amar chai noisis atzma, he says an animal carries itself. And therefore, the most it is an issur d'rabbanan, and this is a machlokes Masechet Shabbos regarding if we say chai noisis atzma. Regarding Reb Nosson, who says that it carries itself, you're not really carrying the animal. The animal carries some of its own weight. So therefore, it's like on some level like shnayim sha'as, so you're not really carrying it yourself, and therefore it would not be in issur d'oraisa. So again, that would not answer the question of what iti is coming to include of chilas Shabbos, because it's not a chilas Shabbos d'oraisa. Now the Gemara says that no. A filatim Reb Nosson, you could say that the Tana that's including from iti, even on Shabbos, is going like Reb Nosson, and it's talking about carrying the animal on your shoulder, because chalashani. When an animal is ill, it's different because now it's not carrying itself. Because it's ill, it doesn't carry any of its weight. And therefore, the one that carries it is being Mechal Shabbos. And that's why we needed to include from Iti that it could be done even on Shabbos, even though there's going to be Chil Shabbos, even according to Reb Nosson. Now, Rafam says that Zeis Emeris, based on what we just said, that we needed to tell you Iti to include even if it's being done on Shabbos, so you could infer the following halacha. That must be that Erev Vahitzah LeShabbos. It must be that the halachas of Erev, which come from the halacha of the Isra of Haitzah, of transporting something from one domain to another domain, only applies to Shabbos, that's a chil of Shabbos, but ve'ein Erev Haitzah le'mikipurim. But must be that the halachas of Erev, which are derivative from the halachas of Haitzah, do not apply to Yom Kippurim. Because if Yom Kippurim would have the same Isra of Haitzah like Shabbos, so why would I need a pasuk of Iti to say, you know what, not just on a regular weekday Yom Kippurim are you allowed to go ahead and carry the animal on your shoulder, which is Chil Shabbos, but you could even do it on Shabbos. But what does that mean? The weekday Yom Kippurim is the same Isra of Haitzah like on Shabbos. And yet still the Torah tells you that you could take it because that's what Lazazel is. You're supposed to take it. So it must be that the Isra of Haitzah does not apply to Yom Kippurim, because if it did, you wouldn't need Iti to say that it's in its time, even if it's Shabbos, which is what's the problem with Shabbos, we said it's Haitzah of transporting from one domain to another domain, but that is every Yom Kippurim. Every Yom Kippurim has the Isra of Haitzah that you're not allowed to, and yet the Torah says you're supposed to. So you wouldn't need a special Rebbe of Iti. Must be that the Isra of Haitzah does not apply to Yom Kippurim. It's only a problem of Chil on Shabbos. Now Rashi just tells us that the term Erev was only said together with Haitzah because it depends one on the other. And that is the Chacham were only misakin what's called a Rubi Chatzeros only because of the Isra of Haitzah, because they were concerned that if you're going to let you carry from one domain to another domain within a real biblical Rosh Hashanah Yachad, but they seem like different domains, you might come to carry from a real Rosh Hashanah Yachad to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's why they instituted Erev, and that is what they're saying, that since Haitzah does not apply to Yom Kippurim, obviously Erev does not apply either, because Erev only comes because of the Isra of Haitzah. However, that was the conclusion that Rafa made from this, must be that Erev and Haitzah did not apply to Yom Kippurim, and that's why you need a special Rebbe for Shabbos, where there is the Chil of Haitzah, and that's what we're telling you, that Iti allows it to be done even on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara continues asking on that braisa. We said, iti vafilu b'tuma, in its designated time, you have this person take the sar lazazel to the cliff, even if there's a contraction of tuma. So that the Gemara asks, lamai hilchasa, But what halacha are we saying that what type of an iser would be for the tumah of the Beis HaMikdash or for the sanctified things regarding sending this animal to be deicha tumah? A, is not being done in the Beis HaMikdash, and B, it's not a carbon to say that it has a problem of tumah. So what problem that could be that if something becomes tummy over here, who cares? Who cares about tumah? He's not going to Beis HaMikdash, and the animal is not a carbon. So what would be the problem of tumah to say that, you know what, even in spite of the fact that there's a problem of tumah, we let you do that? So now I'm Rav Sheshe says that it's Lim is coming to tell you, She'im nitma mishalchai, if the one that's sending the Azazel, it's his mission, if he becomes tamei, in spite of that, nichnis tamei lazar, he's allowed to enter into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash in his status, in the state of tumah, to come to the Kohen Gadol, who then gives him over the Sar Lazazel Meshach and sends him away. So although he is tamei, and generally if you're tamei, not coming to the Azara, he's allowed to, and that's what, because since that's a component of sending the Sar HaMeshtaleich away, that he comes and he receives it from the Kohen Gadol. Now the Kohen Gadol is staying in the Azara, so he's allowed to come into the Azara in the state of tumah. That's what E.T. teaches you, even though he's in the state of tumah, he's allowed to go ahead and receive the Sar HaMeshtaleich. Now related to this, the Gemara goes on a lengthy discussion regarding questions they asked Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer's avoidance to give a clear answer. So Shaul asked Rabbi Eliezer, the Asher Eliezer, which is related to the discussion we were talking about, Chala, if the Sar HaMeshtaleich became ill, Mahu Shayir Kivei Al-Kasefa, what is the halacha? So although we said previously in the Gemara that you're allowed to, this is the question they asked him, if the Sar HaMeshtaleich is ill, is the one who's sending it allowed to carry it on his shoulder? So Amar Lahem, so he answered evasively, he said, Yachuhu Laharkiv Ani Va'atim. You know, you're wondering if the mission, the one that's taking the sar, if he's allowed to carry it on the shoulder, he says, don't worry, the sar, la'azazel, is so healthy and strong that he could carry me and you on it. And the Gemara later on will explain that the reason why he didn't want to answer was because he never wanted to say over halacha that he didn't hear directly from his teacher. So although he knew the answer, since he didn't hear it from his teachers, he didn't want to give an answer, so he gave this roundabout answer about saying, don't worry about it, it's strong enough to carry me and you on its back. So they asked him another question. Chalam Eshalchai. Let's say the one who was sending the Sar Lazazel, he became ill. Mahu Shai Shalchen B'Yarach, what's the halacha to go ahead and send someone else in this place? So Amar Lahem, he said to them, Ehei B'Sholem Ani Va'atem. Said, me and you, we're okay, we're in peace. In other words, what are you asking to such a question? Neither me nor you are going to be taking it, so what's the question about? So they asked him another question. Dachfai, if let's say the one who is sending the Azazel pushed it off the cliff, v'loimes, and it didn't die. Mahu shiyir achar av yamasen, what's the halacha? Does he have to go down to the bottom of the cliff and kill the animal? Because that's part of the halacha, that it was killed on its way down. But if it didn't die, does he have to go ahead and kill it? So Amal Ham, he said to them, quoting a pasuk in Shaiftim, Kein yoivdu kol yivecha Hashem. So should be lost all your enemies, Hashem. So again, avoiding the question. But however, the Chacham said to answer all these questions that they asked him, first of all, Chala, Markiv al-Kasefa, like we said, you could be Mechal Shabbos al-Beitzah. If the animal is sick, you could carry on your shoulder. Chala Meshalcha, if the one who was supposed to send it became ill, Yishalchen bi'aracha, you could send it through someone else. And the third one, Dachfai, V'loi Meis, if he pushed it off the cliff and it didn't die, Yerid Acher Rabbi Yemeseno, you go after it and you kill it because it has to die. Now, the Gemara continues similarly with questions that the attribute Eliezer and his avoidance of the answers. Shalu Esther Eliezer, the Esther Eliezer, the following questions. Pliny, which a certain specific person that doesn't say in the Gemara who it was that they asked about, they asked him, Ma'alo Oil Mabo. What is that type of person regarding his actions? What do you think about him? Is he going to receive the world to come? Now, some translate this regarding Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David HaMelech, that they asked him regarding him. And the question they were asking him was, do we hold like Rabbi Yonasan, who he says elsewhere, that whoever says Shlomo HaMelech sinned is only mistaken? Because although the pasuk says v'lahayu levavi shalev im Hashem lekav kelevav David aviv, that although his heart was not complete with Hashem as God, like the heart of David his father, but that is, as the Gemara says elsewhere, he just wasn't like the heart of his father. However, not that he himself sinned, and therefore they were asking this question: is Shlomo HaMelech getting olam haba or not, or did he sin? So Amalehem, so he responded to them: lo shaltuni el al plaini. Maybe you're only asking me about somebody else. In other words, as Rashi translates, maybe you're asking me about Avshalom, who he actually did sin with the pilakshim of his father. So maybe don't ask me about Shlomo HaMelech, because maybe you really should be asking me about Avshalom, that maybe he sinned, and therefore maybe he's not going to get Olam Haba. Now, they continued asking him, Mahu lahatzel raya kivsa min hari. What is the halacha regarding a shepherd to save the lamb from the lion? Now, the way the Rabbein Chananel translates it is according along the same lines about they were asking about Shlema Melech. In other words, Basheva, who she's metaphorically being described here as the kivsa, what's the halacha to save her from the lion who they're calling that David HaMelech? Do we hold, like Rabbi Yenison, who says in Masechtas Ksubis, that whoever goes out to Melchames Beis David, whenever there was a war, going out to the wars by the kingdom of David, that they would write a get to their wives, and therefore Uriah, the wife, the husband of Bathsheba, actually did give a get to Bathsheba. So therefore they're asking, what's the halacha? Do we say that the shepherd, which is a reference to Uriah, does he save the kivsa, which is Bathsheba, from the lion? And that is, there was no problem with the lion devouring the kivsa. And although David had relations with Bathsheba, it wasn't a problem of Ashes Ish because they gave a get or not. Similar to the question they had regarding Shlema Melch, was it that he sinned or was it that he didn't? So he responded to them, Loishaltuni elala kivsa, you're only asking me regarding the lamb if she saved? In other words, why aren't you asking me about anyone else in that story? So they asked him a different question. What's the halacha regarding to save the shepherd from the lion? In other words, what they were asking him, as Rabbein Chananel explains that, is what's the halacha to save Uriah, who he's being compared to as the shepherd, from David, who is the lion? In other words, do we hold that one is allowed to give honor to the student in the place, in other words, if the student is a chash of a person, but his Rebbe, the student's Rebbe, is there? Can you give honor to the student in the place where the master is there? And that is because he said, Uriah had said, Va'adoni Yoyev. He said, and my master Yoyev, and he said this in front of David HaMelech. So do we say that that was not considered being murdered by Malchus? And therefore you could save the soul of the shepherd from the lion, that he should not have been killed? Or do we say that, no, you're not allowed to give honor to the student, even though he's a chashav person, in the place of where the Rebbe is? And therefore it was considered being murdered by Malchus by Uriah saying in front of David HaMelech, Va'adoni Yoyev, because although Yoyev was someone that was chashav, but he was the student of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was the king, and therefore that was considered murdered by Malchus. So this was the question they were asking him, can you save the shepherd from the lion? Is it considered that he was murdered by Malchus or not? So he said to them, you're only asking me regarding the shepherd, if you're allowed to save him from the lion or not. That's the only one you're asking me in the story. So that's what he answered. So they continued asking, Mamzer Mahu Leirish, what's the halacha regarding an illegitimate child, regarding if he could inherit his father? So he said to them, Mahu Liyabim. What do you mean? What are you asking me about inheritance? Ask if he's allowed to do Yibum to his brother's wife. And that is, maybe that's what you should be asking me, which is when the brother dies without having any children, so there's halacha of Yibum that his brother should marry his dead brother's wife who didn't have any children, so he could have children and build up their family from them. Instead of me asking if the mamzer could inherit, ask me if he could do Yibum to his brother's wife. So they asked him a different question. Mahu lost it as basic. What's the halacha? Is a person allowed to plaster his house bizman hazeh after the churban beis hamikdash? Maybe because of the pain of the churban beis hamikdash, one is not allowed to plaster his home. So that he answered to them that you should only ask me mahu lost it as kivri. What's the halacha regarding plastering his grave? And that is regarding the halachas of tumah. They would put plaster on graves that people should see where the graves are. Instead of me asking me if you're allowed to plaster his home, ask me regarding if you have to plaster his grave. And the Gemara clarifies this. Now, he gave these cryptic answers. He was evasive. It's not because he was trying to throw them for a loop as someone that tries to push away people when he doesn't know how to answer. Rather, Rabbi Eliezer knew what to answer. However, Rabbi Eliezer would never say over something that he had not heard directly from his Rebbeim, from his Messiah. And that's why he gave him evasive answers, not because he didn't know, but because he didn't want to answer, because he didn't hear directly from his Rebbeim the exact answers. So the Gemara continues again with another incident with Rabbi Eliezer. Shala Isha Chacham asked Rabbi Eliezer. A very smart woman asked Rabbi Eliezer the following question. She asked, Me'acher Shemaisa Egel Shavin, since all the different acts of doing Avodah Zarah to the eagle, to the golden calf, they're all the same, because no matter how you're doing it, you're doing Avodah Zarah. So why didn't all the Jewish people that sinned by the eagle have the same type of death? Because there are actually three different types of deaths that people had by the golden calf. There was the death of the sword, which it says in the Pasuk, Simu Ishchar, but everyone should take their sword and kill, which means they were killed by the sword. Then there was the death of a magev, of a plague, where it says, V'yigav Hashem Es'am, that Hashem killed the people with a plague. And then there was another death of Hadraikin, when the belly swells and blows up. As it says in the pasuk, "Be yizal panei hamayim," that he sprayed the ashes of the golden calf on the water. And the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says that the intention of Moshe Rabbeinu was to check these people if they sinned, like a saita, who you make her drink certain types of waters that has the names of Hashem in there also, to see if their stomach was going to blow it up and bust. So the question is, why did they have three different types of deaths if they're all doing the same Avodah Zarah of the eagle? So Malos Rabbi Lez responded to her, "In chach malei isha ele bepelech." You know, you're asking me these questions on Torah, regarding Torah. The wisdom of a woman is only with the spindle. Like it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, V'chal isha chachma slave, and every woman that was wise of heart, b'yadeh tava, with her hands she spun. And therefore, don't ask me a question on Torah. Go ahead and spin your wool and your clothing. Don't ask me such a question. Again, an evasive answer. However, the Gemara does say two approaches why there was this discrepancy of the three different types of death by the eagle. Itmar, we learned, Rav Velevi. Chad Amar once said that zibach v'kiter, those that slaughtered animals and sacrificed incense, which these are certain services that are chayiv misa, if one does it, favay dezara, as the Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, which generally that gets skila, being stoned. Here, in the times of the eagle Azav, in the desert, was besayif, it was with the sword, because they didn't yet have the Torah of the different four different types of Mises Bezdin. And therefore they got judged with the death that B'nai Noyach get, when a non-Jew gets, which all their deaths, when they violate one of the mitzvahs that they're supposed to have, is by the sword, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin. So if one did sacrificing animals or Keteris, they got the death by the sword. Gipeif V'nishik, if the person hugged or kissed the Eagle Hazav, then they don't get Mises Bezdin, they don't get killed by one of the four types of death, as the Gemara says in Perek Arba Mises, but they get death, what's called Bidei Shemayim, they get killed by the hands of heaven, which they got judged with the Magefa, with the plague, they got killed by Misa, with the plague. And the third category, Samech Belvavai, the one who was just rejoicing in his heart, he was happy to see Avodah Zarah going on, but he didn't do either one of those Avodahs, Bahadroikin, he had this death of his stomach swelling up until he died. That's one approach in the differences. B'chadam, the other one of Rav and Levi, he said, Eidim b'hasra, if there were witnesses that was able to testify, they saw him doing Avodah Zarah, and he was forewarned, he gets besayif, he gets death, which is necessary to get Mises Bezdin, which this was that, although it's generally skila, they didn't have the types of B'nai Yisrael, they only had the one death of B'nai Noich. You have to have a warning, and you have to have witnesses. Eidim b'lo hasra, if there were witnesses that saw, but there was no warning, that was B'misa, that was the plague. If there were no witnesses and there was no warning, then there was Bahadraken, then they died by the death of Hadraken, of the swelling of the stomach, and that's why there was this discrepancy in three different types of death by the Egel Hazav. Now, related to this, to the Egel Hazav, Rabbi Yehuda says that Shifti Shalevi Loy Ovra Vaitzikachavim, the whole entire tribe of Levi did not do the Avodah Zarah by the Egel Hazav, by the golden calf. Shnem, like it says, the passing in Shemais. It says that the Yamid Moshe b'Shachar Machne b'Gaim, that Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the gate of the camp, and as the pasuk there concludes in Shemais Lamed Beis Chavav, it says the Yomer Mila Shemela. He said the famous words that for whoever is for Hashem should be by me, and it says VeYa'as VeYilav Kol B'nei Levi, that all the B'nei Levi gathered around Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the term Kol B'nei Levi sounds like it's an entire tribe. All the B'nei Levi were there, and therefore we see that none of them did Avodah Zarah. Now, however, Yasser Ravina b'ka'amar l'hashmaitza. So Ravina was sitting, and they were saying over this statement of Rabbi Huda that the tribe of Levi did not, none of them, not one, did Avodah Zarah of the Egel Hazav. However, Esavei b'nei Rav Papa bar Abba l'Ravina. However, the sons of Rav Papa bar Abba asked Ravina. However, we have a pasuk in Devarim that says when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving the brachas, when he was passing away, he was going through all the different shvatim, he said for Shevet Levi, ha'oymer l'avav l'imay, that the Shevet Levi said regarding the father and mother, by the time of the incident of the Maisa HaEgel, that Leiri Isiv, that I didn't see. In other words, he didn't care that it was his father or his mother. In other words, they became cruel to their own family members to take the revenge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore we see that the father and the mother and the brothers and the sons of the people in Shevet Levi did have Avodah Zarah, because that's what the pasuk is saying, that he didn't recognize his brother or his son or his father or his mother. They killed everyone that did have Avodah Zarah. So you see that some of their family members in Shevet Levi did have Avodah Zarah. I think Gemara answers no. When it says that he didn't recognize Aviv, his father, it means Avi Imam Yisrael. It means his mother's father, that sometimes a grandfather is called a father, that because Bnei Banim Arei Kabanim, grandson are sometimes called children. Therefore, it's his he is a Levi because his father is a Levi. His mother is from Shevet, from one of the other Shvatim. Therefore, his grandfather, his mother's father, is Yisrael. That's who he killed. Achiv, and it says his brother was Achiv mi'ima mi'Yisrael, is that his mother was at one point married to his father, who was a Levi. At another point, his mother was married to someone else who was a non-Shevet Levi, and therefore that person was from some other Shevet. And that's the brother, there's a brother from his mother that he killed who was not a Levi. And Bana, when it says he killed his sons, again, it means his grandsons, who were B'nai Bita mi'Yisrael, it was the sons of his daughter, who was from Yisrael. So although his daughter is a Bas Levi, but her husband was not from Shevet Levi, and therefore his grandchild becomes someone not from Shevet Levi, and that's who they killed, that they had done the Avodah Zarah of the Egel Hazav, but no one from Shevet Levi did the Avodah Zarah by the Egel Hazav. Now the Mishnah told us, the Kevesh Asu Levechulu, that they made a ramp for the one who is taking the Sar Lazazel out of the Hazar, out of the city. And the reason was because of the Babylonians who would be pulling at his hair and saying, go, take it already. What are you holding on to our Avera so long? However, Amar Rav Bar Chana, he tells us that Loi Bavlim Hayu, actually, the ones that created this problem that we had to make the bridge for, wasn't really the Babylonians. Ela Alexandrim Hayu, is actually the Alexandrians. However, Miteich Shesoyim, since the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the people of Eretz Yisrael, hate the Esabavlim, the Babylonians, so Hayukirin Oysan, they called these troublemakers, all those that were the lightheaded ones and do things improperly, Al Shaman, they called them, quote, Babylonians, but it wasn't really the Babylonians. So the Gemara says, Tanya, similarly, we learn in the Breiser, Behuda Imre, he says, Loi Bavlim Hayu wasn't the Babylonians, Ela Achsadrim Hayu was actually the Alexandrians. And Omalei Abriyasi told him, Tenuch Daitcha, your mind should be put at ease, Shanachdas Daiti, because you put my mind at ease, because Rabbi Yossi's family was from Babylon, and therefore it was very harsh to him, this thing that his relatives were those that would pull at the hair of the one who's taking the Azazel and doing such things that they had to make a kevesh for them. So he calmed down by saying, don't worry, it wasn't really Babylonians, it's just they called the troublemakers, the rabble-rousers, the Babylonians, it was really the Alexandria. Now, the Mishnah said that what they would say was, Tul Vitzei, take it and go, take it and go. So time to learn the Braisa that what they would say was, Ma Shohi Tzapira Dein, V'chevi Darasagin, which means that why are you holding on to this Sayer Lazazel here? You have all the sins of the Jewish people riding, so to speak, on this animal that it's here, take it already, get rid of it, because we're not going to have the atonement until it's thrown off the cliff, and therefore they would pull at him, and that's why they made the Kevesh, so that no one could touch him, because he's on this elevated platform, and that was the purpose for it, so the Babylonians, which was really Alexandrium, should not pull at his hair and say, go and take it already.